Welcome
to
the
pod.
Should we go crust?
Yeah, it's a crust. It's a pie crust.
It's a little bit crass. It's crusty.
And then you've got cast. I was never going to get
crust.
Podcast is a bit boring, but a crust is something that perhaps people leave till last, find difficult to process, isn't their favourite. So I thought that summed us up perfectly. So the pie crust is the name of the show. Hi, everyone. We are back for our second in the rebirth of the podcast, which is now called the pie crust. Very confusing. So thanks for tuning in last time to our Record Store Day preview. And what a weekend that was. That was really fantastic. Although it seems so long ago now. We had a great weekend. And thank you for coming and supporting if you did that. Live in the studio today, and we are in a studio, we have Rads.
Hey, hello.
We have Benjamin Hogan.
Hello there.
We have Mr. Samuel Leadbeater.
Howdy doody.
Back again. And we have Sasha.
Oh, hi.
So, the right motley crew. This pie crust, we're going to have a little chat. We're going to make festivals our focus, our feature this month. I'm looking out the window now. It's lovely and sunny. So why not? I mean, now is a time where Pie and Vinyl certainly turn their eyes towards trading outside in festivals. And I guess we should keep our thoughts on that right there. But more importantly, way more importantly, is the question, what do people feel about festivals now? There's so many different types. There's so many boutique festivals. There's A-list festivals that still happen. There's your Reddings, your Glastonbury's, your ATP. What's happening with ATP? Your corporate festivals, your Hyde Park. You know, let's put on, I don't know, Carole King's playing, I think, and you know, it's almost like they kind of, you can just see the money. They must pay some of these artists for a one-off show. We've got festivals where they appear to care about you, like End of the Road, in my experience, anyway. And then we have foreign festivals, and are more people kind of looking abroad? But either way, we can't escape festivals. It's just become a machine, and every year when you think people are going to stop going to festivals, they still go to festivals. So we'll be talking about that in more depth. First of all, we will just have a little chat about maybe everyone's favourite band, maybe not, but Radiohead. There was a time last week where Pie and Vinyl became the Radiohead contact centre because they released a 7-inch record. There was no details on it. We know as much as you. That was great fun, but obviously it's all built around the fantastic new album, if you have heard it, A Moon-Shaped Pool. So guys, what do you think? Have you heard the record? Rad, have you heard it?
Yeah, I have. I mean, not the record yet, obviously, because that's not quite with us till the 17th of June, but
yeah.
I've heard the download, I've heard the digital release, and I enjoyed the hype, the humdrum, the buzz, you know, the anticipation, and I got kind of wrapped up in the same way that a lot of Radiohead fans did, in the way that they do things differently. You know, they're not just a band. You know, they're providing you with an experience. You know, felt kind of youthful and excited by something. You know, whereas, you know, other artists I might be really into, you find out they've got an album coming out, you know, in a month, and you're like, oh, okay, cool, that's all right, I'll make sure I pick that up, and that's what you do. But you certainly don't, like, you know,
you don't get the same fanfare, do you?
Was it you, Leadbeater, that told me that you the day before with this whole thing?
Yeah, like
what was the increment that you told me about every 10 minutes?
I can't remember
or
what it was. Yeah, but website. Their website just disappeared, didn't it, over time? And
no, you actually gave me.
Can't remember what it was.
It became
more
10%
and
more opaque every 15 minutes.
Yeah. Something like that.
So,
yeah.
You know,
is there a link? It's the indie only release on opaque vinyl. Is there a link there?
Probably is very intentional, I should think. But
they just sort of disappeared over a day. It's all their internet presence.
Yeah. It's like they hit the reset button and said,
"Dead airspace.
We are back."
I mean, there were I did read an article that said something along the lines of, you know, whatever happens to just banging music out, whatever happens to just releasing your music. And I guess there's an argument for that. But then, you know, push the envelope, you know, try things a little bit differently. And I think they've kind of been renowned for doing that as a band across their career.
Yeah.
So it would be a relative disappointment if you just, like,
it's
opened a magazine and it said, coming soon, you know, bring a new Radiohead album.
It's fantastic. I mean, you know, they have become kind of even more popular, even with people that don't really listen to their music. They've become this band who are known to release things differently and almost champion a new way of releasing music. So, you know, going back to the pay what you want kind of scheme, that was pretty revolutionary, and I'm sure they made more money out of that. I'm sure there is some statistical fact or quote somewhere. You know, with the King of Limbs as well, that kind of came out, that had the newspaper, and that was a kind of a mass hysteria kind of release. I think Tom York was giving out papers around London. So they certainly always championed an exciting way to release records. I just think it's fantastic that they are supporting the indie shops for once.
Yeah, it's nice to see that they've actually allowed for us to buy in and stock their album instead of self-distributing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, again, I understand why an artist might be tempted to do that, but you could argue the argument is definitely there to suggest that, you know, the fandom, the main crux of a fandom for a band like Radiohead is probably as it's bread and butter in people like us, people who operate and exist and work and populate record shops and play their records and play their music. When, I mean, I can remember years ago working in Virgin Megastores and putting OK Computer on, taking about 4 complaints. Like, what, that album ran its duration?
Yeah.
You know, and,
paranoid androids.
Customers coming in and just being like, you know, this happened with three artists. Three artists this happened with. Bjork, Radiohead, and I think the third was actually Hot Chip.
What Bjork album? Just out of
it. It was Bjork's Greatest Hits. people said, what is this noise?
Pleasing.
They come in to buy a bloody Wii, and they're listening to this mad Icelandic yodeling, you know?
Alex, you should help with that one. What do you think about the whole Radiohead? Or just, I guess, these kind of surprise releases in general.
It's not just indie artists, so it's like Beyonce.
And that's it, Beyonce was a big one with Lemonade. And,
but that's basically what they do now. It's like who can break the internet and stuff like that. It's a bit pathetic, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Please can we mispronounce every artist that we introduce on the show?
Kylie Minogue.
Beyonce and Minogue.
When it comes to
like musicians, those artists, I mean, like Beyonce and all those people.
Kanye.
And it's like they seem to be afraid their music can't stand up by itself.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like, oh, he's tweeted that he's going to change the name of the album and no one really cares, mate. Mm-hmm. Let's hear the music and see how that
goes. Do you think it's a clash of artists versus marketing departments? Well, or do you think the artists have become the marketeers almost?
Well, with Kanye, he says he does everything himself.
You can believe that.
To do. Mm. Yeah, but obviously Beyonce, she probably has about 50 advisors before anything happens.
Mm.
Even her apparent breakdown with Jay-Z was...
Jay-Z?
Yeah, apparently that was all fake as well. So,
yeah.
Not that I care. He probably does go around doing his vibe. And she does too. Good. Do it.
I can confirm she did. Yeah. We'll say no more about that.
But then who cares anyway?
Yeah. I love the way, I mean, we've had a fantastic response from the Radiohead album. And again, to be fair to Radiohead, you know, they did have a limited website-only release. They gave that a couple of weeks to breathe, and then they announced, you know, the opaque kind of indie version. You know, which we are very lucky enough to stock.
Sorry, can I ask you, talking about that, I don't, what's going on with that?
There's digital, and this is where you kind of win as well, I guess, if you are going to buy physical. You can buy a standard black version. This is on Radiohead's website when the whole album
but
was
it's only
released.
Sold through small record stores, you
said? Well, the Indies only version is, yeah. And there was a box set version where the sound of Windows, you've got an email. where they've actually cut a lot of their master tapes into tiny little sections, and you're going to receive one of those. I think
it's
I'm guessing here, but I reckon Sam Leadbeater may have purchased it.
Yeah, I did.
He is a super purchaser of records.
And when you suggested earlier that they were doing things for the record shops, announcing a luxury version on the day of the release available online isn't really supporting you guys.
If you've been
that Radiohead fans sat there in anticipation, desperate for a physical release, and they announce what is a really jazzy sounding book.
It sounded lovely, yeah.
And with no knowledge of what was available to come from the Indies,
no.
You're going to get that. Mm. Yeah, and I reckon a lot of people did. And then you have to buy it twice if you're going to support your record shop.
But then there's probably less of that version that you're discussing, Sam, than there will be of the opaque vinyl that goes into independent.
Well,
there's only a one-time pressing of the Indies only, so it's going to be for the.
Not
going to
lie, I've pre-ordered both. So.
And it's probably a lot more money as well, though.
I think a lot of people will want both, because I think with the mastered edition, it's not available until September again.
Ages away.
You're not going to get your hands on it.
But then there's the argument, should these record labels, they're obviously just preying on music fans' desire to own these things. Mm. And then it's all down to, why did people want to own things so much, and the whole idea of like, I want that. Why? Because I'm a fan. But
here's a question to an artist. I mean, you know, when you one day expire, when you are deceased, and you've made lots of quiet pause there of awkwardness. And you've made lots of wonderful music for everyone. Would you see your legacy for other people on planet Earth to enjoy your music as a physical state? Or would you be happy if you never released physically, you would just have this kind of this legacy floating around online somewhere that people could discover?
Well, of course you want a bit of something physical, but at the same time, to release an album and say, but wait, there's more. Buy this one as well and you get this.
I see that side for sure.
And Radiohead's supposed to be like saying, do it for people. No, maybe Tom just going, release that one. Here's an idea. Let's get the master tapes. Cut them out. It's probably just a piece of tape. Not even. You can't prove that it's a real thing.
Yeah.
And they could just be.
Sam's going to be there with a magnifying glass.
They could be sat there rubbing their hands together.
Yeah.
While he's sat in his massive file.
All of them. And then put these bits of tape back together again and play it. Because you are right.
So that's sick as well, isn't it?
It is. I really see that point of view. I really do.
That does sort of lead us to Prince as well. In the idea of he's got a vault. A supposed vault of music of unreleased things that we may now, incrementally over time, hear lots of unreleased tracks with videos that were made for those tracks,
right?
Which were never released.
Yeah,
and his output as an artist may just continue for the next however many years.
Yeah, you know?
If he's written that into his will,
it's funny, isn't it? Yeah, it really could. You know, let's divert our attention onto rest in peace Prince Rogers Nelson, who passed away in April, which is another major artist this year, which is making me feel incredibly old. But of course, he's an absolute legend and you know, a well-known workaholic. So yeah, for sure. I mean, there's artists like Neil Young who have vaults and vaults, and you can imagine someone like Jack White as well. You know, they're artists. That's what they do. That's all they. You know, Damon Albarn. These kind of real high profile artists that have the ability to just go. You know, walk downstairs and go into their recording studio. That's what they do because they have to do it.
The other thing that makes them artists though is their ability to say, this goes in a vault and not out onto people's iPods, Walkmans, CD players, yeah. record
yeah.
players.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit like, I'm sure Van Gogh had a waste paper bin full of sketches yeah. that, yeah.
That's you a nice know, rad allergy.
Do you know, right? there you go, yeah. there's the rad allergy of the week. Yeah. Van Gogh's waste paper bin.
The yeah. rad EO head.
Yeah.
yeah.
The rad EO head. Yeah, it's a good point. But, you know, maybe you could choose almost like a wheel. I mean, you know, I don't know for sure, but apparently Prince has no will, which is obviously going to open a whole kind of bag of worms with his estate and future record releases, I'm sure.
Lol.
Working
he's got a vault. Yeah. He's got a vault full of music, but he's didn't he's no time to write love.
If you want yeah. a really interesting kind of look through the...
Keyhole?
Through the keyhole into, yeah, Prince's kind
wow,
of...
Wow, that would be a good show.
There's a fantastic
now who lives in a house like this?
Everything's purple. Is it Prince? Damn.
There's a really big vault door over there. There's and no paper in here.
There's a symbol on the wall.
Yeah, there's an unpronounced. Yeah, unpronounceable. I think, don't get me started on symbol. Of course it's a symbol. Of course it's not pronounceable. Anyway.
Yeah, there's a really good talk that Kevin Smith, the director, gives about his dealings with Prince when Prince asked him to come in and do like a documentary
MTV
about him.
Cribs. Yeah,
I'm going to check that out, Ben. Thank you.
Mm. Check it out.
Everyone else, check that out as well.
Okay, well, let's move on. Let's look to the future and let's just have a little chat about upcoming new releases. So we have, you know, already this year seen some absolutely massive releases. We've already spoken about Radiohead. And we've, you know, we're only just approaching half the way through the year, so I'm very excited. I've heard a few rumours about some big artists, but of course we get excited about the new ones, the ones that right now we've never heard of, and that's, I guess, half the reason I listen to music anyway. So guys, who's looking forward to what?
You kick off, Steve, I think. Come
really?
On. Yeah, hit us. What's your favourite? What are you looking forward to the most?
Well, I'd say some highlights. Bat for Lashes, I think that will be an interesting record. Let's see, Grandma. What do you think, Samuel? We saw them support Kieran Leonard
earlier
in the year.
Yeah.
Suddenly they're signed by Transgressive. Suddenly they're releasing a hype album.
Was a bit of a WTF moment for us, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did you say WTF?
Yeah.
Too much.
Safe for radio. Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
We didn't really know what we were walking into. How would you pigeonhole it, Steve? Could you pigeonhole it? Maybe that's
yeah,
why it's
it
so
was,
hyped.
It was proper kind of weirdo, living
sort
American.
Of tap your toe at some points, but
yeah.
There was a lot of people looking around, very, very unsure of what was going on in front of them, which is, I don't know. Quite
is it sort of good. Like Nathan Barley with you, when he pulls the time over his head and goes, is something great happening here? Everyone's looking around seeing what other people think. Is this good? I don't know.
Yeah. It was that. It's like, we don't know whether this is epically brilliant.
Sort of older people that were fascinated by it, almost like they'd never seen anything like it before. They were just really fascinated by it, weren't they? Like...
Yeah,
this is incredible. There's two young girls making weird electronic music, but I don't know.
Yeah, there was all lots going on. There was lots of crazy instruments and very different. Like no two tracks were the same, were they? It wasn't like a consistent vibe through the whole set.
Yeah,
but you know, it was different. I've never seen anything like it. So,
some other highlights. I mean, this week we've had quite a good week. We've had Methylethyl, which I can thoroughly recommend.
Yeah.
Really good record. We've had a couple of reissues, Wolf Parade and Manic Street Preachers, Everything Must Go. The Apologies to Queen Mary reissue is lovely. The Loser Edition, re-released on Sub Pop. Car Seat Headrest, which should have been released, which has been postponed due to the rights on something he sampled.
It was a Cars track, wasn't it?
Was cool. It, yeah.
I wasn't happy about it.
Had a Fuse, it's another good band.
Yeah, I like Fuse.
Kind of recommends here at Pie and Vinyl, Mutual Benefit, Richard Ashcroft, Bob Dylan, we've had this week with his sort of second instalment of a covers album. Mm. I've not heard that, I don't know if any of you guys have. Kay Tranado, that's out at last. And then we've got coming up soon, we've got Band of Skulls, Catfish and the Bottle Men. Alex. Are you a fan?
Catfish and the Bottle Men?
Yeah.
No.
I love the way you said it.
Succinct. How about Gold Panda or maybe Beak?
Oh, Gold Panda. Oh, I used to listen to his stuff ages ago, but I didn't know anything from him. I don't listen to music that much.
No.
Not really. I don't know what I've been listening to lately. Ooh. I was listening to Arca yesterday, listening to him for a bit. Listening to Bjork.
Mm.
Quite a bit lately.
Yeah.
And actually, I've been listening to, because I noticed you had the sticker, the stamp sticker, the Konnichiwa Skepta sticker that's going around, like the first class stamp. I've been listening to the Skepta album recently.
What do you think,
though? Yeah, I think it's good. Like I said, I hadn't listened to grime since like 2006 when me and my friend Dan, we were doing like a hip hop thing. Well, the grime thing ourselves, I played keyboards and recorded it on a cassette tape, and he was the rapper. We were called Assassins on Demike. And I did some rapping. It was like, we Assassins on Demike, we take no prisoners, we shoot everyone in sight with our words, our lyrics, our rhymes. Get with us or get with the time, something like that. Nice. And then there's another bit where it's like, we're knocking down our grannies on the street corners, we're nicking the purse and then you jizz in their faces. People think that's what the youth of today is. It ain't. Get real, honey. Something like that.
Sounds good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
When's it coming out, Sash?
I don't know. I've still got the tape. So maybe I should release that.
Five other records.
I'll cut that three up. Different formats. Yeah, I'll cut that up and then release it.
Can you release it on cassette? Exactly. We'll get 10 seconds each. Yeah,
but that's interesting, isn't it? The evolution of grime and how it's real mainstream now. But it used to be just like blokes in East London
hanging around in like
filming stuff on their phones
slash gospel.
Yeah, it has a punk ethos about it.
So that was really exciting and strange how that's good. Well, it's good that it's got so big, and the people who are big now, they were there right from the beginning, and that's really interesting to be able to see that whole story develop. So yeah,
it's got a lot of legs, I think,
and it's crossover to the US, isn't it?
Yeah people like Rye Hanna plenty of influences there.
Draki.
Yeah. I'd say, listening to that has been fun, but also makes me feel a bit aggressive as well. very, a lot of aggressive energy. But then when you watch them, all the, like, the rappers live when they're in their, when they're doing live stuff, and you can't help but feel that energy. So it's really good. I haven't been to, like, a grime show myself, but I'd really like to experience it.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what I've been, I don't know any of the new releases, sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a few other highlights. We've got The Kills, Lady Hawk, Cat's Eyes, Architects, Flume, Death in Vegas are back, which I heard some of that new album today, actually. It's very good. Beth Orton.
I'm excited for Metronomy.
Metronomy, Summer 08, always excited. Yeah. A new little supergroup, Minor Victories. I've heard that as well. I think Mr. Debbie has heard that, and it's very good. Whitney.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, it should be a good one. We've got Empty Fish as well for the Alexis Taylor is doing a piano album. James Blake, Neil Young, Divine Comedy, and maybe that'll just kill it. Don't get bored of me.
I'm just really
go. Goat! I'm excited about
goat
material.
Okay, yeah.
The goat. Penny has just dropped.
Mm.
James Blake. Cover art by Quentin Blake.
Yeah.
Yes. Guess who his dad is?
Blake the poet from the 1800s.
No, is Quentin Blake James Blake's dad?
Yeah.
Is he?
It's crazy, isn't it?
Oh, that ruins everything, doesn't it?
No. You're joking.
Oh, well,
you
that's obvious up. Why he's got successful now, isn't it?
He says so bitterly.
Who's your dad?
Well, I don't like his new stuff, so.
Oh, you don't?
Very soulless. So, yeah. Shame.
Yeah. He's one of the ones put on the sticker for the album cover. Sasha doesn't recommend.
No, what I have a not
recommend. We're going to get some pie and vinyl stickers made for.
Sasha doesn't recommend.
And it'll be Sasha's three words.
Why, actually?
Yes.
Because I think he has a problem insofar as you can't fault his production. It's really amazing how he creates these really exciting sounds that are people you think, oh, I wouldn't have thought of that before. And so, yeah, as a producer, I think he's really amazing. As a songwriter, I don't know if he can cut it, because I don't know, it's hard to know. What is he doing? Is he trying to make, because obviously he does like soul stuff, he does like back in the day just creating crazy sort of like future garage, future dubs sort of vibes.
Jamie
and then he was doing all that stuff, and now he's just trying to get all these different elements, smash them together, which perhaps on paper looks interesting, but when you actually make a song out of it, and he's trying to also sing as well, which he's got a really nice voice, but then the songs just don't work, and then they don't go anywhere, and they just fall flat, and then he's just got like some looping vocals, and then he just like random chorus, that chorus, or is it just this? So, and then it's like, oh, yeah, it sounded interesting, but so it's like, does it stay with you? No, I don't think it does. And that's my
I think we should make this a regular feature every month on the Pie Crust. Sasha doesn't recommend. So, and if we go at that angle, artists that you should
tell you what not to buy.
Definitely want to listen to that James Blake record just to put make sense of everything Sasha just said about
it. So, check it out. It is.
I will buy it and then go. Yeah, he was completely right. And then I'll probably chuck it into the Mary Carey or something. I don't know.
Rad has actually met James Blake.
I have, yeah.
He doesn't realise it.
I do realise this. So I met James. I shook his hand. I said, "How's it going? Nice coat, long coat on."
Very tall man.
Yeah, he was a very tall man in a very long coat.
Fingerless gloves.
No, he seemed very. He was very pleasant. He was a very pleasant young man.
But his dad is Quentin Blake, which I think's great. But that's because I'm a bit older than.
It's a shame he didn't get his dad to do the artwork on his albums, really cool.
But actually, I don't think the artwork's that good. So.
That's what I mean. What, Quinn and Blake's?
Yeah, I prefer his Roald Dahl era. So.
Yeah, you really don't like him. Okay, he's really destroyed this man's career.
Sorry, it's because...
She's coming Blake for you.
Sorry, it's because I was thinking about the grime music and it got me all head
Somewhere, don't mess with...
Represent.
If you see him on your way home tonight, guys, then...
Well, also, I was annoyed as well before I got here because somehow... I think someone's let my bike tyre down. So I've got the ferry, and I was cycled to the ferry completely fine. I was like, oh, I enjoyed that ride because it's nice sun. They got off the ferry and it's like, what the hell? That hat's completely flat, like not even like a little bit soft. It's completely, just completely flat.
Was your cap missing?
No, it wasn't, but I think someone when I was on the ferry, maybe the guy who works on there. Because time I had a bit of beef with a bloke on the ferry because I was running towards it. And then he literally could have let me on. I had the ticket out and everything. And he closed it and went, oh, sorry, mate, catch the next one.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I can confirm I did see James Blake on the Gosport Ferry. I saw a very tall man letting down someone's bike tyre. And with that, we move onwards to festivals and the feature of today's show. And it really is, here we go again. When will the festival bubble burst? I mean, I have memories of growing up wanting to go to a festival, almost like a rite of passage. Once you've gone to a festival, that's it. You're a properly consummated music Windows 98. Thank you for your email.
Wim Butler just emailed you.
Yeah, it's a great DJ, yeah. 1996, I went to my first festival, and... I guess at school, I was okay. I was kind of in the middle a bit. I wasn't so much of a, quote, nerd. And I wasn't the cool kid either. But if I told, girls I potentially fancied that I was going to a festival, they would have laughed at me, called me something like a grebo or something like that. What I'm trying to say is it wasn't a cool thing to go to a festival. Now... I was in Texas, like I went to school in Texas. You've got something like the Isle of Wight Festival, which is actually happening very soon. But is that a great thing? Is there now a festival for every kind of taste? Or are festivals just purely about money with no experience?
It's become a rite of passage, isn't it? It's become a... like you mentioned Isle of Wight, you've got Reading Festival as well. My first festival, I went to Reading Festival a few years back, I think in 2011, I grew up around near Reading. I've got no idea why I waited until I was like nearly 30 to go to Reading Festival, but it was the most heinous experience of my bloody life. You know, searched like four times a day while trying to wander into an arena to watch music, just in case I happened to sneak in a beer that wasn't Carlin branded. And you know, it was just after all the music finished, everyone was so bloody bored they just resorted to setting fire to their own tents and like and doing nitrous gas like until bloody 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, but it was their kind of my first festival experience. You know, their rite of passage, and you know, I just sort of think that. I don't think festivals have, you know, are getting tired now. They've been going for a long time. I mean, festivals have been a thing, you know.
And that's one type of festival.
For 50 years, you know, with like 60s, are we saying? Like festivals first kind of popped up.
The end of the,
you know, festival spirit and stuff.
Glastonbury is an example. Then,
or Woodstock, you know, like it's been a thing for a long time now.
For a paying customer, and that's a big thing as well, you know, the money side of it. Mm. I mean, you have to be fairly wealthy to go to a festival nowadays, where obviously back in the day, Woodstock, Isle of Wight being two prime examples, everyone thought the music should be played live for free and you could jump the fence and blah, blah, blah. Now, you know, it's 250 odd quid, isn't it, for a festival? If you've got a family, you want to take a family, you know, it's a lot cheaper to go abroad somewhere. And that's another whole kind of festival, the festivals abroad, which seems to be so much cheaper. Ben has got a piece of paper out, and I think you've been doing a bit of a questionnaire, a bit of vox popping in the shop.
Yeah, I've just been speaking to people today and trying to work out what their favourite festival is or if they're even bothered about festivals.
Yeah.
And it's just so wide-ranging. There are so many festivals. And I was going through a sort of ubiquitous list today of all the festivals that are going to happen across the next 3 months. Mm. And it's just huge.
Yeah.
Every weekend you could go to a festival.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there are so many bases that are covered, and that is a really positive thing. But it does feel like festivals are something that... It's just something people do now.
Yeah.
Do you know what?